on Sunday podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Chapin. Around here, we believe that faith was never meant to stay inside church walls. Each episode brings honest conversations, biblical wisdom, and practical tools to help you follow Jesus in your everyday life. Let's get started. This episode is going to be focused on a very sensitive topic for many Christians out there, but I feel it's a vital component to living the true biblical Christian life. And that's the topic of forgiveness. Let's go ahead and dive into the first piece of scripture I have for you today. And this is Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God's forgiveness is wonderful and it's beautiful. And I think we can all agree as Christians that we love being forgiven of everything that we do wrong. All the sins, all the trespasses against God and others are wiped clean, and we love that. But there's a reality and an expectation that's placed on us by God, and that is the fact that we will forgive others who wrong us. We are conditioned, especially in the Western world, to avoid pain and seek pleasure. This is called hedonism at its finest. When someone hurts us or offends us, we want to get them back. We want to hurt them back. Or the more Christian response that's normal, not biblical, is just avoid that person. The world has snuck into the church and it's influenced us to act just like the world acts when someone hurts us. And it's not the way that scripture teaches us. Another big thing that we call it today in today's world is cancel culture. You don't like somebody, you shut them down, you don't listen to them, you don't buy from them, whatever it is, you just get rid of them and don't support them. This whole idea of holding wrongs against people is not the way of Jesus Christ. You got to remember Calvary's Hill and him being up on that cross, dying after he was brutally beaten. What did he do? He looked up to heaven and asked God to forgive them, for they know not what they do. How often do we feel like people know what they're doing? People are doing it on purpose. How often are we thinking that, oh, they knew exactly what they were doing when they did that? And maybe to some degree they did. But the fact is, you got to look at Jesus. You got to look at what he was doing when he was on that cross and what he was saying, the words he was saying. They knew what they did when they were beating him, but they had no idea who he was in their heart of hearts, right? They did not understand him. They did not have a relationship with him. And sometimes we can think people know what they're doing at the time, but the reality is they do not understand most of the time. You can be hurt by somebody and go on for years, and that person doesn't have any memory of it at all in their mind because it wasn't a huge deal to them. It wasn't something that was planned and orchestrated to inflict so much pain onto you, but we can internalize it and feel like that's what they did. Now, I want to turn to another passage in Matthew, and it's a parable that Jesus gave that speaks directly into this idea of forgiveness and the expectation that we have placed on us by God Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Peter was approaching Jesus thinking, hey, seven times is a lot. Is that a good number? He was trying to impress him, almost like we should forgive seven times, right? He was thinking that was a high number, and maybe he even thought, hey, God likes the number seven. Maybe seven's the gold number. But we see what Jesus says to him here in a second. Verse 22. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. Don't try to do the math here. Jesus is not trying to give a math lecture. The point is, there's no limit to how much you forgive somebody. And think about the command here Jesus just laid out. If someone does you dirty, Jesus says, keep forgiving them. Why is forgiveness so important to God? Think about this. The bitterness, the hate, the anger, all these things that get tied up in unforgiveness. You weren't designed in the beginning to be like that, to have that in your heart. Look back at the garden when everything was perfect. There was no hate, anger, malice, bitterness, and there is no need to forgive. And then Adam and Eve did the unthinkable and they ate that fruit and they sinned. And at that very moment, something happened. It changed the dynamic of the relationship between man and God. The point is, we were not designed to hold on to unforgiveness and to have all these dark, sinful attitudes and heart conditions. We were designed for more. Now, Jesus launches into the parable about forgiveness. Check it out. Verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. By the way, a talent is a year's wage in that time. Continuing, 25. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt." Okay, let's pause here for a minute. The master here in the parable represents God through Jesus Christ. He has forgiven us a debt that we could never repay. We were on the path and destined for hell, based on our sins and all stemming back to the original fall in the garden that we see with Adam and Eve. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, provided a way out from that destiny that we deserved, and he forgave us. In verse 28, we'll continue. "But that servant," the servant that was just forgiven, "went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Less than a year's wage. Not very much. I'm not sure what the math is on that, but not a lot of money compared to what he owed. "And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.'" Let's stop here for a moment. As we read this story and see the servant, it's easy to see how messed up he is, right? The clarity comes because it's right after the servant was forgiven of so much that when he goes out and hits up the next servant that owed him a few hundred bucks. It's like, wow, that's crazy. Think about it. Our lives aren't experienced exactly like this parable. It's more like a slow motion compared to the story that we're reading. When we are first saved by God and walk out of the church, we don't go straight out of the church and be unwilling to forgive somebody who wronged us. It's a slower burn in actual life as it's played out. It's over the course of years and sometimes even decades. It's experiences that stack time after time with the same people who just keep inflicting pain into our lives. And that wrong committed often comes by someone close that we trusted. And maybe even inside a church or leadership in a church, it just leaves a bad, icky feeling with you. And it's hard to move beyond that. The wrong that hurts our hearts deepest often is committed by the people we would never think would hurt us. It's at these moments we have to remember the cross and remember our Savior hanging on that tree and looking up at heaven and saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The path to forgiveness isn't easy, but it is required by God. We got to keep that in mind. Let's pick back up in the text at verse 29. "So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt." This servant had the opportunity to fix things. But if you look at verse 30, it says he would not. I've personally had several situations in my life where I was extremely upset and I thought I could never forgive that person that wronged me. And then when I had to naturally see that person, I had a choice to make. I can remember clear as day. And the choice is simple. You either dig your heels into that unforgiveness and avoid them. Don't make eye contact. Don't talk. Don't do anything. Or respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to let it go and love anyways. And we all have this choice. Either to choose God's way or choose our own way in life. It's with every situation, and especially in our lives regarding forgiveness. Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden. If that tree wasn't in the garden, Adam and Eve wouldn't have lived in a paradise. They would have lived in a prison, because true love always requires freedom. Let's keep going in the text. Verse 31. "So when his fellow servants saw that what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done." Holding on to the hate, the anger, the unforgiveness always has consequences. It can mess up your body, like literally your brain and your muscles and everything in your body with the weight of stress and holding on to that bitterness and unforgiveness. It can wreck your body and your health. Everything in life has consequences, and you for sure can't hide it from the master, aka God. And you could put up obstacles in your life and make sure you're never around that person that you're holding unforgiveness toward. But God knows what you're doing. He sees it. He can identify when you're still holding on to unforgiveness, because he can see our hearts. Let's read verse 32. "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. The master here, being God, calls this servant who holds unforgiveness wicked. Wicked is a pretty strong word to categorize someone as, especially in the context of what is going on here. But Jesus chose that word to draw an emphasis on the importance of this topic of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm guessing you're kind of like me and you don't want God to slap a label on you that says wicked. But for those of us who choose to hold on to unforgiveness, it's wickedness. And what is wickedness? It's when a person decides to reject God's ways, act unjustly, or live apart from his righteousness. It boils down to an outright rejection of God. In this parable, a great passage that helps round out our understanding is Psalm 10:3, which states, "The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts." I chose this passage because I think the root of unforgiveness comes from a place of pride. As people see us in the world and they see how we're different than everybody else, they're going to wonder what you have that they don't. It adds to our testimony when we can show up, love, forgive, and we can overlook offenses. We're not trying to cancel everybody we disagree with. We're just trying to show the love and the care of God through Jesus Christ. This world's dying. The people in it are dying, and there's people out there that are seeking hope, and they need people like you and me to show up and to love in a way that's radical. I think the takeaway from today's message in Matthew and forgiveness is, if you are holding on to unforgiveness in your heart for someone, or something came to your mind and you know what that is, I encourage you not to talk to your sister or to your friend or whoever, but go to God. Go to God and ask him, is this an area where I'm holding unforgiveness? You see, God desires to bring healing and restoration to every relationship in our lives. And it's part of the Christian life that is so beautiful, and it's part of the design that we were created for in the beginning. If you look at the beginning, at the garden, perfect relationship. There's communication both ways, and there is time spent together. When we introduce unforgiveness into the equation, it creates division. It creates problems. And you know what? People are messy and they need forgiveness. Thank you for listening to Beyond Sunday with Benjamin Chapin. If this has encouraged you, please share it with somebody and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's next. If you'd like to invite me to speak at your church or next gathering, or maybe you just want to explore the 60 plus books I've published, be sure to visit BenjaminChapin.net. And remember, faith was never meant to stay inside church walls.